When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Consequence Podcast Network. Welcome to Consequence Uncut, a series that gives listeners and readers a deeper dive into our features on Consequence.
For this episode, we're talking to K-pop star Alexa for this week's fan chant column.
Shame of all, it's not a K-pop concert, you know, it's the general audience who happen to have K-pop fans as well, because I didn't know if the audience is going to be receptive to me, because it's like, I know we're all here to see Nicki Minaj. I sadly am not Nicki Minaj.
So Mary, welcome back. And is this our first fan chant Consequence Uncut?
This is our first fan chant Consequence Uncut. And I'm so excited. It was Alexa, who, as you've heard, is just a beam of light.
Yeah.
She was so much fun.
Wow. And like, I was not as well versed in Alexa when I first heard the interview, but like, I'm like really, really impressed by this person. She's living in Korea. She's on American Song Contest. She has K-pop training.
Yes.
And is about to take over the world, clearly.
Yes. Yeah. She's such a unique artist. And I'm so excited for more and more people to learn about her. And in the first American Song Contest, which for anyone who didn't watch it or wasn't familiar, was kind of designed to mirror Eurovision on a state basis. She competed on behalf of her home state of Oklahoma and built this incredible fan base. It was kind of the perfect confluence of events, with K-pop being such a moment right now and more people falling in love with it outside of Korea, and her incredible training, and it just propelled her to the right place at the right time, thanks to all her hard work and that perfect timing. So it's very cool to see. It's a very unique story.
I really love this story, especially because American Song Contest was, you know, as we know, is like, you know, modeled after Eurovision. The model of it has this potential to really create stars, to create like long careers. When you think about like ABBA was launched on Eurovision. You know, like we could be finding one of the next great things. And Alexa seems to really be one of those success stories. So it's really cool to see what happens on the other side of it. You know, she's at Jingle Ball now. You know, she's recording stuff in Korea. I got tingles listening to the interview.
Exactly. I completely agree. Another thing I think that is just so fun about, something else I think that is just so fun about her story is it reminds us how people all across the country are more interested in international music than people might think. You hear Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and you don't exactly think there will be a large community of people interested in K-pop. Mm. Or I live in Tennessee, and people sometimes say, oh, okay, well, there's curious people everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially in the age we live in, more and more people, there's kind of that global connection that's so possible. And so it's a really cool reminder that there's just so much diversity and diversity of thought and creativity across our country in so many different ways.
I agree. Like, everyone listens to pop music. Like, it's popular for a reason. And, you know, it's the funniest thing. When I was in Nashville, obviously, like, you can go to some of these bars and there's, like, country on the first floor, country on the second floor. But when you find that secret room up top, you hear yeah. you are no longer listening to country in Nashville.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's, you know, the rock block, and there's great pop acts coming up, and
yeah.
Music City for a reason.
Exactly. So I'm super jealous because apparently, I mean, spoiler alert, you know, you got some free tickets out of this interview.
She did. She was very enthusiastic about me coming out to one of her shows soon enough. And it was so, I mean, we just had a great time chatting. She's incredibly easy to talk to and was really excited about this song that she just put out called Sick that is now officially out in the world. And so it was a great opportunity to connect. I was super happy that she wanted to come on the column. And it was fun because I've never had, or it's rare that I have a native English speaker in the column, since it's specifically dedicated to folks coming out of South Korea. So it's just a different level of conversation that's possible between people. And especially for podcast format, totally works.
I know, but with the rise of K-pop, I feel like this is something that's going to be happening more and more. And I'm glad you have this interview. I needed a new bop for the new year. And clearly, yes. I have it now.
Yes, love to see it. So please go check out the full interview with Alexa on FanChant, my column on consequence.net, of course, and listen to the whole episode here.
Yeah. And please remember to subscribe to the podcast to stay up to date with these in-depth interviews. So now I'll turn it over to Mary and Alexa for this interview. Please enjoy.
Just super excited to talk to you about the song. I feel like we have so much to talk about. We have a tour, we have a song, we have Jingle Ball. Like, we have so much to chat about.
But all of it.
Start with Sick, because it's super, super fun. And I was listening to it again today, and what kind of struck me about that song is that it's not like a diss track. It's not a love song. It's it feels mostly about kind of this idea of self-image and self-confidence. And so I wanted to, we're on the same wavelength here. I wanted kind of like, if that was where you intended, like when you set out with that song, if that was the idea that was kind of percolating, or if that was something you discovered along the way, just kind of talk me through how you did it there.
Yeah, I mean, when we first received the song, upon first listen, you know, the message that I interpreted was, you know, I guess the original songwriter, you know, was probably speaking on the fact that, you know, self-image is like, oh, you know, if you love someone or like, or maybe in a relationship with someone, but you're like, oh, they're so out of my league. They're so much better than me. They're so perfect. Oh, it makes me sick. Ugh. You know, that kind of mindset. It exists in relationships, especially I feel like with younger and more impressionable people.
Definitely.
But on the flip side, I feel like once you mature, you can interpret those lyrics differently, where it's like, oh, so the person I'm with or the person that I like, maybe they're not all that it seems to be, because they think they're, you know, they think they're hot shit, but in reality, they're really not. You know, they're so full of themselves. It's like, ew, gross. Ick. That makes me sick. But like, you know, that's how I interpret the song personally, but it's open for interpretation.
Love it. Yeah. But so you've been in the public eye for a while now, and you've been performing for even longer than this, but we're coming up on 2 years? Is it 2 years since American Song Contest?
Oh my God, when was American Song Contest? 2022? Yeah, 2 years.
Time isn't real anymore, but
it's an illusion.
it's fake. But I was wondering how you feel with a little bit of distance from that, because it wasn't necessarily your introduction to performance by any means, but it was kind of a different kind of breakthrough in your story. So. Mm-hmm. With a little bit of time from that, I was just wondering how that's felt for you.
I mean, it's been a crazy journey. Cause I mean, at this point it's been over a year, almost, you know, two at this point. Yeah. Actually coming up in February, that's when we started working on stuff. So that's crazy. So basically 2 years since American Song Contest, it's interesting because I had spoken on this, briefly with somebody else earlier, but you know, nowadays, you know, if I go to different performance venues or if I have like any like fan engagement events, half of them will be like, oh, you know, I know you from your K-pop debut. But then I'll have some fresher faces that are like, oh, I saw you on TV for American Song Contest, and that's how I found you. So it's really interesting to see how my fan demographic has, I guess, broadened since the introduction of American Song Contest, because, you know, that show itself was just for the American general public, not exactly like K-pop fans.
Right.
But people found me through that show, through the English song that I released. And I guess it's just interesting to see that I have a bit of an appeal to the American GP along with, you know, K-pop fans. So.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. And so I kind of with that, how did it feel for you to bring so much of what you've learned from the K-pop world and translate that to American audiences, and how you continue to kind of bridge that gap? Like, is that something you're necessarily conscious of when you're making your decisions about your releases, or is that just an organic part of your process at this point?
I mean, in regards to American Song Contest, since it was based off of Eurovision and, you know, yeah, the song was great, but like if the performance, if the stage wasn't great, then it doesn't really freaking matter, now, does it? So like, you know, but the background in K-pop and performance, we were able to, you know, bring forth a bomb-ass performance, in my humble opinion. And, you know, it was really cool because, you know, I'm so used to, you know, like if I do a TV show here in Korea, there's like 7 different cameras and there's angles they get and everything, and you have like one chance to get it right. But then this show, it's like they were also like 7 or 8 different cameras, but like I was one of the only people that was like experienced in learning how to look at cameras when they light up. I remember some of the other contestants came to me afterwards, they're like, how do you pick the cameras so fast? And I'm like, my job. Practice. But I mean, not just the camera stuff, but also performing. It's like I know how to perform to an audience in front of cameras, because sometimes, depending on who, you know, the producer of the show is, they prefer you to look at the camera only the whole time. But with this one, I had a bit of freedom to, you know, actually look at the audience, interact with them while I was being taped. So I'm really grateful that I have my beginnings and my background in K-pop, because that overall teaches you how to perform well, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was so cool to see people embrace kind of like the spectacle of it all, because a lot of people don't even know what they're missing. So it's super fun. But I would love to talk about Jingle Ball, which looked really fun. You were the first Korean soloist to perform at Jingle Ball. I saw there were a lot of other really fun folks there. Big Time Rush, you hung out with them for
BTR.
A second. Yeah. Did you watch that show at all, like when it was on?
So that's the thing. Growing up, Big Time Rush, you never heard this. I was more of a Jonas Brothers girly.
They were the first concert.
Really?
Yeah.
I never saw them in concert.
It was informative. It was really, really important.
I mean, I was more of a J-Bro kind of fan. But when Big Time Rush was a thing, you know, I did tune into the show every now and then. But I'm not gonna lie. I mean, yes, I am a fan, but I don't feel like I was like a diehard fan.
Yeah, you weren't a day one.
But I also like to attribute my knowledge of Big Time Rush to the, of course, famous Vine that I had them recreate.
Yes. So
I was so surprised they were down to do that. I was like, oh, you don't hate this idea?
I love that. No, I talked to them last year. We did like a TikTok live, and they are just so down for like all the nostalgia bait. Like they're
down to clown. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. But talk to me more broadly about Jingle Ball and how that felt for you and what that whole experience was like.
It was so fun because I don't remember the seating capacity of the arena in Dallas, but I remember it was a pretty big capacity, at least more than 5 people.
Not to brag.
Surprise, more than 5 people saw me. But it was a pretty big venue. I think it was the biggest venue I had performed in since my debut as an artist. Because I remember, like, I think back in 2019, I performed in a venue in Singapore to, like, maybe 10,000 people. But I think the Dallas and, of course, the Miami arena as well, you know, I think the capacity was a couple thousand more than that. So it was surprising and it was shocking because, again, Jingle Ball, it's not a K-pop concert, you know, it's the general audience who happen to have K-pop fans as well, because I was the opening act for Dallas. I started the Jingle Ball tour and I ended it, you know, at Dallas and Miami. But as the first person to go out and perform, it's a little nerve-wracking because I didn't know if the audience is going to be receptive to me, because it's like, I know we're all here to see Nicki Minaj. I sadly am not Nicki Minaj. But immediately when I walked out, it was loud cheers, lots of screaming and support. So I was a wee bit shookish, but I was very happy the whole time I was performing, because nothing makes me happier than looking down and seeing someone smiling, looking back at me, you know? Because every so often, artists will perform, there's somebody just standing there on their phone, or they're just kind of deadpan watching. But if I see someone smiling at me,
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That'll make my day. That'll make my day.
That's great. Yeah. And speaking of performance, you have a tour coming up.
I do.
A stateside tour. You're going to be hitting your home state of Oklahoma. But what can people expect from these shows? What can you tease a little?
Well, let's see. The last tour I went on was 2 years ago. Well, American tour. Last American tour I went on was 2 years ago. Because I went on one to New Zealand and Australia last year around April-ish. But, I would say expect some of your favorite songs to be there, obviously. Obviously, I've got some new songs under the belt. I would like this concert to be more interactive than the last one I had. Because, it's like, I'm standing on stage for a couple of hours. I get to talk to the fans here and there. But I would like to have more time to really interact and not just be like, hi, I'm on the stage and you're watching me.
Totally.
I don't know. Since it's just me, I have backup dancers, but since I'm a solo act, I like to be as personable as possible because it's like, I know what it's like to be standing in a crowd, like right front and center, and the artist is just being an artist. They're not really like acknowledging that you're there. I know what that's like. So I like to try to flip the switch and try to give a more organic experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I live in Nashville. I was bummed to. I know not everyone comes to Nashville, but I hope you do someday. I would obviously see the show.
This is a part one tour.
Right.
So
yeah.
Learn enough for a part two.
Fingers crossed. Love it.
Nashville.
What are you kind of most excited about? Is there anything beyond kind of like the crowd participation experience? Like, do you have any specific goals kind of as an artist around this next tour or anything you're really excited to try that's different for you?
I don't know. It's been a while since I've been on tour, but if I'm being completely honest, of course I'm stoked for every single stop because I love seeing my fans wherever they are, but we're going to my hometown this time and I'm so excited because last time we were in Oklahoma 2 years ago, we went to Oklahoma City, which is fantastic. No tea, no shade. It's a great place. Obviously it's Oklahoma, but my hometown is Tulsa. And I'm like, I know for a fact that Tulsa peeps would rally more if we were in Tulsa. So by some fortuitous note, we actually wound up at Tulsa, specifically Kane's Ballroom, which is this iconic venue that I went to a handful of times when I lived there. I saw a lot of my favorite bands there. I watched my friends play in like a Battle of the Bands event there.
Is going to be so random. I've actually heard of it. We had a campaign last year called Hometowns of Consequence, where each region nominated a venue. And that was one of our finalists because it's like, it's really old, right? It's been around.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
It's iconic.
Because I took like the Midwest, South, whatever region.
region.
Yeah. That is so cool. I love that.
So full circle for me with that. So I'm really excited to go to Kane's. Definitely.
Cool. I'm excited for you. And I would love to talk a little bit more about your music because I know that you write as well. And so when it comes to putting together new music, whether it's hearing a track from an initial songwriter or working on one yourself, what does your process look like? Are you someone who has a notes app, or are you someone who's struck by inspiration? Are you someone who goes into the session and just kind of sees what happens that day, or is it a combination?
In regards to, I guess, the upcoming music I have, goodness gracious. The upcoming songs I have, like Sick, which is coming out, and then hopefully the month after, I'm okay, we'll see. The two songs that are the Jingle Ball. In regards to those, it's like, you know, with Sick, we were pitched a handful of songs from my American Sound label, and they were all good, but, you know, some of them were like a wee bit lackluster in comparison to Sick. We decided to go with that one because it has, in my opinion, it's a very easy listening song. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to American radio, I feel like people don't tend to listen to the lyrics all the time. Like, if it's just something you can, like, calmly drive to and just easily listen to, it's not distracting, people will listen to it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Sick has a very smooth kind of listening aspect to it. The lyrics, once again, like we touched on them earlier, I feel like it's very universal concept that has been felt on either side of the spectrum. But then when it comes to, you know, other songs that I'm planning to release for this upcoming album, such as I'm Okay, you know, I'll be in the studio with whoever I'm working with that day. It'll show me a handful of tracks, or we'll go in with an idea in mind, like, hey, let's make a track inspired by this artist, or let's make a track with this kind of sound or concept. So we can sit there for hours, you know, just shooting the shit, you know, just going through different sounds, see what sounds right, or just going through different tracks and seeing what speaks to us. But once we find the one, oh, we are on a roll for hours with, like, lyrics, harmonies, I love being in the studio with creative people. You know, it's just making art with fellow artists. It's just a very fun process.
Are you living in Seoul?
Yeah, I have been living in Korea for the past 6 years.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really long time. Mm-hmm. And so you came back for a while for American Song Contest. Mm-hmm. And what are some of those? Is there anything you really miss about being in America? I got to go to Seoul.
Oh, my God.
What was it? 2021?
Okay.
Loved it so much. I was there for a few weeks, dying to go back. But you spent a lot of time in both places. Is there anything you miss about America or any cultural differences that you really love about? Like, for me, when I was in Seoul, I was like, accessible, clean, safe public transportation, the craziest thing I've ever experienced. Like, I grew up right outside New York City. And every city planner here, mm-hmm. I just have them live for a week and see how good things could be. It's incredible.
Culturally, I mean, yeah, when you speak English, obviously we don't really have like a hierarchy system when we speak English. There's no like formal speech versus informal. It's just all about intonation and nuance. So, you know, being able to just speak straight English for a while without having to be like, oh, I'm gonna speak to you this way because you are a higher up, like, you know, without having to keep that kind of thing in mind, because Korean speech, it's very different. It was nice to speak in my mother tongue for like a whole month. That was nice. And then, I will say, I really missed this one food brand, Cane's, Raisin Cane's.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh my God. When I was in New York, I was staying like close to Times Square. So I was like right around the corner from Cane's. Like, I think 3 mornings out of like the 9 mornings I was there, I got up and ran my ass to Cane's every morning. I was like, I'm gonna get some chicken with some toast. Like,
absolutely. Ooh. You can take the girl out of the Oklahoma, but, you know. You
can't take the Oklahoma out of the girl. Like,
true. So true. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite questions, I love knowing people in creative spaces. I love knowing what has been inspiring you lately. Like, if there's a film you saw, a book you read, TV show, experience you had that was just kind of like that creative lightning bolt where you were like, I could go into the studio right now and dance for hours, or like, I want to work on a song.
I mean, and not gonna lie, life as a K-pop artist, you're very, very busy. So sometimes you don't get to experience life the way that regular people experience life. So you kind of miss out on certain experiences. But, you know, just recalling memories from, I guess, really pivotal moments in my life, like things that happened to me in high school, things that happened to me in college, things that happened to me, I guess, you know, when I first came to this country, you know, recalling on those memories and those, like, evoking those strong emotions that I had during those times. It provides for really good creative insight when I want to write a new song, or if I think of just lyrics. If I can't think of a top line, but I need to just write my thoughts out, I'll put it, you know, poetically into lyrics. Or, for example, depending on if I have different fitness goals for a month, you know, I will learn a super hard-hitting choreography. Or, you know, I'll just learn one that's more lax and more fun just so I can share it on, like, TikTok or, like, my, you know, social media app for my fans. It really just depends on what the overall mood is for the month.
Totally. Do you have any like manifestations for the new year or any goals like that we're focusing on? Or resolutions is the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, manifestation. You know, we are in the era of delusional girl.
It's
manifest. I'm going to manifest.
But the safe space.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, with the cliches, of course, I want to be healthy this year. I want to, you know, take care of myself, my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit. You know, that's my number one concern this year. But, you know, career-wise, this hopefully to be released mini album is my priority. I would also like to, you know, finally start promoting in Korea again. It's been like a year since I've promoted in Korea. So I would like to do something back on the TV shows here, mm-hmm. manifesting, praying to Jesus. And then I think, honestly, just be able to release more of the songs that I have either co-written or just written myself. You know, I want to put more of my own artistry out in the world rather than things that are kind of, you know, handed down to me.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Cool. I believe in you. I love that.
Thank you.
Great. Well, this has been so lovely. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you think is really important to share about this release or anything coming up that you'd really want to share with people?
So, I mean, I've released English songs in the past, but Sick itself is the first song of hopefully many for this, like, it's officially like an American, like, EP release. It's not like English K-pop song. It's like my first American targeted English only album that we're working on. So that's kind of the direction we're heading in. Genre wise, I'd like to say we're going to try to stick within the realm of like soft punk rock or like pop punk or just like soft pop rock in general. I don't know. I would like to think that this upcoming album will probably rally the former Tumblr girls of the early 2010s.
Yeah, so, say less.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I feel it.
I can't wait to hear it. My last question. This is literally just for my favorite things to happen last year, or was it? I don't even remember. See, time isn't real. When Top Gun had their Seoul premiere,
yeah,
all those men were on the red carpet with their hand burns.
And your heart.
I'm crying. And someone who's like written about K-pop for a while, I was like, this is my favorite thing that's ever happened. What was it like meeting Tom Cruise? Like, I just.
Oh my God.
There were so many things I was dying.
No, because that shit was so funny. Because I remember, because, you know, I didn't exactly get to witness the red carpet because I was backstage prepping for the performance. But, you know, I got on Twitter later and I saw pictures of Tom Cruise going like, I was like, middle-aged white man, what are you doing? But okay. Korea loves you, Tom Cruise. Korea loves you. But it's so funny. Anytime Western celebrities come to Korea, like, they learn all these, like, you know, the heart poses, all the angyo and everything. It's just, it's so funny to me. But meeting Tom Cruise, it was really surreal because I finished my stage. I'm backstage getting changed, getting ready to leave. And then here comes Mr. Tom Cruise with like 20,000 bodyguards. And like, I wasn't going to approach him because I'm not that bitch. Because like, if I see a celebrity working, I'm not going to be like, happy thing. Like, totally. I'm not that kind of person. But he came over to me and was like, oh, you're the girl that just performed. And I was like, oh, yeah. It's like, I really love your voice. Like, he was just laying on the compliments. And I was like, Mr. Cruise, thank you.
Incredible.
And then he was like, hey, do you want to take a picture? I was like, okay, anything you say, Tom Cruise. Like,
really want one, obviously.
He was so kind. Like, I mean, granted, I mean, there are some celebrities that are like, you know, kind on the surface, but could be bad people. But from what I've heard from a lot of people in the Hollywood circuit that have met Tom, he's so nice. So I'm like, all right, work.
He's a movie star. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just, he's it. So
I love he is. He is Tom freaking Cruise.
Incredible. Wow. It was super nice to meet you. And I hope that you feel better. But congrats on the song. I'm super excited to write about our chat.
Thank you so much. And hopefully, if we do happen to have part two of the tour in Nashville, we will contact you. Come along. Don't pay for a ticket. We got you. So,
yes, I would love to chat in person next time.
Of course.
We'll make it happen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch,
Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.